Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew Mornings. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast. Remember that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego song when we were kids growing up? Anyone remember that?
I don't.
Sorry, I don't know if I know this one.
If you start singing it, maybe it'll jog our memories.
Yeah.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Really? No. That's how
Not,
it went?
No.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Are you serious?
And then the last phrase was, off to bed we go.
Are you making this up?
Yeah, I just made it up.
Say the Greek version is Nick, and Nicholas, so I don't know.
Nick.
That's funny. That's
the Greek version.
Yeah,
Nick, Nico, and Nicholas.
Yeah, what I heard, too, is that it was actually the way God provided. Was he doused the flames of the furnace with a Windex bottle? That's what I heard.
Is that what happened?
That's what I heard.
I just remember the VeggieTales version.
Oh, no.
Why? Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
It was so good.
What?
It's the bunny.
James.
Chocolate. Yeah. The chocolate bunny factory.
No, tell me.
Oh,
tell
yes. I remember that.
It's like the best one.
Yeah.
But, okay, I don't remember what their names were. I think they had, like,
Rack, Shack, and Benny.
Benny, yes.
Rack, Shack,
Shack and Benny. Oh, classic.
Very
classic.
All right, sports fans.
it's definitely a cartoonized version of it, but
it was good.
So good.
You get the story pretty well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guys, it is a beautiful Tuesday morning. It's a little rainy out there.
Yes.
Rain is supposed to subside here in the next few minutes. So I encourage you, if you're on the interstate, to open it up wide open. You won't hydroplane here in about the next 5 minutes. You're going to be fine out there.
There you go.
Wow.
Last day of
summer. Traffic advice.
This is it.
Put
the top down on a convertible. Get a little wind in the hair.
Is it going to
a moment.
Cool down? Is it going to cool down?
Yeah.
It's going to cool down.
Oh, this week, the high is 75 out
on Friday.
Where we're at. And that's it. Like, that's as high as
and
it goes.
And I was enjoying
Thursday,
this.
We're in the 60s.
Yes, bring it on.
Allie's so disappointed.
This is really disappointing to me.
It's so nice out there.
So
I loved
nice tomorrow,
it this morning.
65.
Tomorrow's 65.
Yes.
That's perfect weather.
It's just way too cold.
No. It's so not.
It's going to feel so good.
Oh, it's going to be the best.
You know what I'm looking forward to?
What's that?
I'm looking forward to the polar vortex coming through again.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Okay. I actually love the polar vortex.
It's fun to be a part of events.
Because to survive stuff is, I just love to do that. In fact,
I was thinking,
I was so bummed when I found out.
Oh, no.
I thought early this morning when I was up, I thought, shucks, I'd have done anything to have been one of those civilians on the SpaceX flight that just landed.
Really?
Oh,
you would do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Die would do that?
I think so, yeah.
Be right.
Really interesting.
Now I would do that. 3 days circling space, 16 sunrises and sunsets every 24 hours.
Wow.
That's what they
I
have.
I can't do it. I wouldn't be able to do it.
16 sunrises and sunsets every 24 hours. How cool is that?
I've been getting claustrophobic, like on elevators and airplanes. Like
you have been?
I just get
like
kind
it's
of
a
anxious.
New thing?
It's like a new thing.
Oh no.
Like I went up to the Hancock building and my friends were in town and they wanted to go.
Oh,
and
my favorite
I
place.
Was getting nervous. I was like, oh, this is going, I can't believe this is going so fast. And I'm stuck in here.
The Hancock Tower elevators.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like they've been around for a long time.
Yeah, they have.
Oh, yeah.
My son was
so
right
high.
Next to it, living right next to it. And he got stuck on his elevator in his high rise.
No, see, that stresses
and when
me out.
He was in there 45 minutes alone.
On which floor?
Oh, by himself?
I forget what floor, like 10th, 12th, something like that.
No, I can't do it.
Anyway, he was all by himself.
Did he have
minutes.
His cell phone? Could he call people?
Yeah, no, he got the fire station came down.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
But it was an old building and it was an old
Bruce Willis
elevator.
Came in.
Yeah, saved him. But he climbed out. He got out of there. It was all good.
Yeah,
but
nice.
I'm not into elevators that break.
Yeah, that's just something we don't think about.
I think anybody is.
I was stuck on one on a cruise ship one time with my family as well. That was an interesting time.
How long?
10 minutes.
Okay.
Doors wouldn't open. Wouldn't go up or down. And that gives you an unnerving because you don't know. It's like. Have the cables broken and we're just here with the emergency brake? You know, is that what's going on?
Oh, well, yeah.
Here? Well, things go through your head.
Sure.
That aren't true at all.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the technology hasn't changed in like years and years and years for elevators.
I need you to know that the possibility of you getting hurt on an elevator is
very
almost nothing.
Okay.
It's non-existent. So there.
Especially here in Chapman.
I know. We have brand new elevators.
By that.
We don't
have four
use
floors as being comedic.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're safe.
And we live on the second
different
one.
Different than
so
another building.
That's cute. We live on the second floor.
We live
here.
We don't live here. We
feels like it.
We never go home, actually, Boom Crew.
I've got in the phone room.
I just thought of something.
What?
What?
Thinking about being economical and a good steward of God's money.
No.
There aren't a lot of offices being used around here. What if me and my wife just move on down here to Chapman to level two?
In all honesty, you probably wouldn't be bothered.
Probably no one would know.
Especially right now, since no one's coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, and the fourth floor has that outdoor, you know?
I know. Well, that could be your deck. Yeah. There you go.
Barbecue
out
there.
You'll feel right at home.
Pool.
People come to work one day, and there's Carl up there in a hammock catching a little schnooze.
Grilling.
That'd be so worth it.
What's Clausen doing out there? Why is his extended family?
That's right.
They're in visiting from Alaska.
That's awesome.
Could you imagine?
That would be
a sight to see. For sure.
Well, there may be a time when radical persecution comes upon the church and we're down here all communed up in Chapman.
Mm.
Yeah, broadcasting live 24/7.
Could happen.
Getting the word out. Kind of like Radio Free Europe. What are you grinning about, Young Thunder?
That's a situation right there.
No comment on that.
That's
5:07 is the time. Allie's just sitting here gazing into space.
You lost me.
It could happen. I mean, crazier things have happened way quicker, guys, around the world. We got to remember that. Now, on a serious note, we don't know when adversity's coming our way, and that is setting us up for the presence of God.
Yes,
here.
We are in fire week today, the fires of adversity.
You guys ever think you've gone through adversity that warrants talking about?
What do you mean?
You know what I'm talking about? Like adversity where you've experienced the presence of God through adversity, and it's like, wow. I've got a story to share.
I mean, I feel like high school was really rough.
You know what? I want to tell you something.
That was, as a Christian, going through high school is really rough.
I want to tell you something. High school as a Christian, as some people might say, well, that ain't adversity. No, it is when you're in it because it is so all-encompassing to your brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge.
I felt very spiritually attacked when I was going to high school. I did.
Did you cry?
Oh, yeah.
Like all the time?
I wouldn't say all the time, but I definitely have moments.
Where you were crying?
Yeah, because it was real. Like, people did not like God and knew that I was a Christian, so.
Yeah, it's a real thing, isn't it? 5:08 is our time. We're going to be talking about fire, yes, all week, but today is the fires of adversity and how God shows up.
Yeah, so we're going to be asking you for your story of God showing up in the fires of adversity, whatever that looked like for you.
Yeah, we got a story coming up here, and I'm gonna set it up with a crazy story. You know that I was a box boy at Carr's Grocery Store in Alaska,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, one of my jobs was burning boxes. That was one of my jobs.
Burning them?
Yeah, burning boxes.
They gave you the job of fire?
Yeah, I was a fire commando. I'll tell you about it.
Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
Okay, so I'm a box boy at Carr's Grocery Store, and I get given this task of burning boxes. We had a huge incinerator, and I go back there, and the manager, Moon Barrett. Love that name.
Great name.
I mean, Moon Barrett? Are you kidding me? My grandpa only, I think he had a better name, Axel Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a good one, isn't it?
That's
Axel
a good name.
Johnson, are you kidding me? I told my parents when I was about 16, why didn't you name me after grandpa, man? Name me Axel.
Aw.
Come on. Axel's a great name.
It is a good name.
So, Moon Barrett goes back there. Now, Carl, let me tell you something. This is how this incinerator works. He's a big old boy. He says, you hit this switch on, and then you hit this primer, and boom, it ignites this big gas furnace, natural gas furnace. And it you get the boxes ignited, and then you don't need to keep the gas going to it. But if you do, it really gets hot. And man, I got good with that incinerator. I made it my goal to see how many boxes I could get wedged into this huge incinerator. And here's what's weird about it. Here's what's weird about this incinerator. The hole that we crammed the boxes through, big enough to fit four men through.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
That's kind of scary.
Oh, and then you had the big door that opened, looked like a bank vault, right? And that's where you went in and swept it out when it had cooled and everything. But, I mean, this thing was intense. I got it so hot one day, and I was ready to cap it off with some more boxes. I open up the door, and whoom, the flame from a distance was so hot that my eyebrows disappeared, the front of my hair singed up, just curled.
Oh, no.
Oh. I mean, I was singerific.
That's crazy.
Gone. And it was that hot. Speaking of that hot, Young Thunder, give us the story, man. It comes right out of Daniel, the book of Daniel, the prophet Daniel, chapter 3. Take it away.
That's right. Daniel 3. So the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, he is a crazy guy. There's plenty of stories about him, but this is one of the most famous, where he builds this gigantic golden statue. And he builds this statue with the decree that comes after it, saying that when, you know, we start playing this horn or this flute, whenever this music starts to play, you are required to bow in front of this statue. And if you do not bow in front of this statue, you're going to be thrown into the blazing furnace. And so everybody around the kingdom of Babylon has to do this. And Nebuchadnezzar has some of his loyals come to him saying, you know, king, you've made this decree, but there are some Jews that you have set over your affairs that aren't listening to you.
Yeah, these were big dogs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so they said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these guys are not bowing when they're supposed to bow. They refuse to worship anybody other than their own God. And King Nebuchadnezzar is furious about this. He gets so angry, he comes and talks to the three guys, and he goes, is this true? Is this really what you're doing? And they say, yes. And he says, you know, you can choose to bow now, and if you bow now, I'll forget everything before. I'll forget all the other times you didn't bow. But if you don't bow, you're going in the furnace. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they say to him, look, we don't have to answer to you about this. And they said, our God has the ability to protect us. We believe that he will protect us. But even if he doesn't, there's no way that we're bowing to you. There's no way that we're bowing to your gods.
Right.
And King Nebuchadnezzar gets even more angry. And so he goes to his officials. He gets his strongest guys to bound these guys up in rope, make sure they can't escape. And he says, turn that furnace up 7 times hotter than it usually is. It was so hot that the people who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire died themselves.
Yep.
Because it was that hot.
That's hot.
Yep. Now, while they're in there, supposed to be burning, King Nebuchadnezzar is watching this from the outside, and he looks to his advisors and he says, hey, weren't there 3 guys that we threw in there? And they go, yeah, 3 guys, absolutely. And he goes, there's 4 guys in there, and they're all walking around like they're fine. They're walking around in there, and they're not.
He actually rose from his chair and looked and said, they are walking around. I love that text.
Absolutely. And so he approaches the opening of the blazing furnace, and he shouts, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out of here. So as he sees this 4th person, he recognizes that God is in the process of saving them. And when they come out of the furnace, there's no evidence that they had been in there in the first place. Clothes aren't even singed. They don't even smell like fire because God was protecting them utterly and completely.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, this brings Nebuchadnezzar to a sense of realization about who God is, that he actually ends up making a decree over God, the true God, saying that if anybody, shows disrespect, denounces this God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego serve, they will be cut into pieces because no one can save like this God can save.
They were going to be torn limb from limb.
Yep.
It's an amazing story. What do you take away from that, guys?
That God is with you, that even when circumstances seem dire and bleak and tragic, we can count on God's presence.
It's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
But a note before we go any further here, that the fourth person is either an angel or it is a pre-incarnate Messiah, the Jesus himself. We don't know. But we know this for sure. It was so powerful a figure that whoever that was in there, Nebuchadnezzar was caused to fall to his face and
right?
go, oh, my goodness. But I'm telling you right now, if I'm throwing something in a fire and it's seven times hotter than usual and nothing's getting singed and there's dudes walking around, I'm repenting as well.
The people just outside of it died.
The guys that threw them in are consumed.
Thank you.
Wow.
I mean, that's huge. Mm. Yet another thought.
Yeah, my favorite verse is just before the end. It's so as he's giving this decree in verse 29, he says, "For no other God can save in this way," and that is
a powerful thing.
It is a powerful verse, you know, because it really is saying that there is no one like our God. Yeah. There is no one who can pull you from the fires of adversity like our God. And I think that that's important for us to know because in this culture, in our day and age, myself included, it's easy to trust in ourselves to get ourselves out of situations. But there is no one like our God who can save.
Wow.
It's a great story, man. It's amazing. So we got a question for you guys because this is about the presence of God through adversity, saving you, protecting you, holding on to you, lifting you up. I mean, you just knew that God was holding on.
Have you experienced God's presence through the fires of adversity? What did that look like? 312-274-9624.
Hey, this is Super Di. Hope you're enjoying the Carl and Crew Showcast.
We're talking about fire all week long, and today the story out of Daniel 3 is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and what you see is supernatural intervention from God. That is amazing. And you might wonder, does God do the supernatural today? You know, it's interesting. I did this. We did this interview with Lee Strobel, and we're going to be playing that next week. You never want to miss anything here because you don't know what's coming up.
True.
But I'll tell you, part of what we did with this interview, he's written this book, A Case for Heaven, and it is amazing. But he's done journalistic documentation of death, near-death experiences, and the empirical data that's come out of this, and it was blowing every circuit in my brain. And I think sometimes we look at things that happen in our life and we can write it off to coincidence or circumstance or some other bizarre phenomenon. But there was a time I was going through some real internal affliction. It wasn't external, but it was internal. I felt like I was in a spiritual war, like I could not even get my head around. And I remember going to bed praying, oh, Father, I need you with me. I need you. I need to know you are with me so badly. Somewhere in the middle of the night, I was awakened out of my sleep. And all I can tell you about what happened next is what happened. That's all I can say. But I remember being, this is going to sound so bizarre, but I don't have these things happen very often. In fact, this is the only time this has ever happened in my life. But I am awakened in the middle of the night, and immediately I find myself out of the bed, just above the floor, a few inches off, leaning forward at an angle, straight body, but leaning forward at an angle that I could not possibly keep from falling on my face. And I'm looking down in the bed, and I'm laying there, sound asleep. And I'm asking those, it's getting quiet in here, guys.
Yeah.
And I'm asking God, what is going on here? And I'm leaning forward, and I'm leaning forward, and I'm leaning forward, and I'm looking down. And the only message that I remember receiving from the Lord is that I'm taking care of that guy laying there.
Wow.
Oh. I've got him covered.
Wow. That's precious.
And I went back to sleep. And I woke up the next morning and I thought, what in the world happened last night?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my wife and I told Robert Lewis. And I told a few other people. Didn't want to tell too many.
Sure.
People think you're, you know, they'll put you in a padded room somewhere. But I can honestly tell you to this day, I can look back at that moment and I remember that distinctly as a time of real encouragement where the Lord manifested his presence some way, somehow. You go ahead, write it off to a dream. You can write it off to whatever. I believe it was an absolute wide awake vision of God's love for me and care for me. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah.
Guys, I don't have this. I'm not one of these that have this happen all the time. That's one time in my life. Yes, I've seen and had the privilege of watching people get delivered from demonic manifestations. And I've seen supernatural voices, supernatural not as in good, but supernatural voices come out of people that otherwise would never use those voices. I've seen supernatural strength come out of people that otherwise wouldn't have that strength. And I've seen the power of God quell that strength in those voices. But I'd never seen anything like that happen to me. You know, I think we look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we go, that's almost fairy tale-ish.
Right.
Right?
Yes. I mean, this couple guys go into the fire, and then, woo, they're okay. They mm-hmm. come out, and they don't smell like smoke. I think sometimes, for some of you, this may be a brand new story for that you've not heard. For many of you, it's probably a story that you grew up hearing mm-hmm. maybe in Sunday school or kind of, I don't want to say dumbed down versions because I don't mean it in a derogatory way, but sometimes we can almost strip the power out of these stories.
Not just almost. We do all the time. All the time. I think we dumb them down constantly. I think you were right the first time.
Well, I don't want to be too harsh about it.
No,
but
we do. We do. We turn them, I think they're more palatable with flannel graph with four-year-olds than it is with 40-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
I think we diminish the power and presence of God and how he wants to work in and through our lives. I mean, we've seconded things to, you know, I mean, Acts, that's pre-church, and we get into all kinds of little stuff. All the while, the church that's on fire around the world is seeing the power and presence mm-hmm. of God manifested all the time.
Do you think it's because we don't see it in our own lives right here in America?
I don't think we have faith to believe. I think we have faith more in our Bible studies, in our preaching, in our worshiping, and smoke coming off the stage than we do in a supernatural God.
Mm.
That's just my conviction. So some of you are getting hit with things that are just tough. But you've seen God carry you through, his presence and power. Hear me now. This isn't like, ooh, bigger, better. I've got a bigger presence of God story. The presence of God isn't something to be tinkered with or trifled with. It's to be enjoyed and to be trusted and to be reveled in that, wow, my God showed up when I needed him.
Do you have one of those stories of God showing up when you needed him and when you were going through a season of adversity, the fires of adversity, and God was there with you? 312-274-9624.
Yeah, give us a call, guys. 312-274-9624.
Hi, I'm Sputnik, and you're listening to the Carlin Crew Showcast.
This is a awesome, awesome story coming right out of Daniel 3. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, by the way. Those names were given by the Babylonians. Their original names were not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here's what you need to know. When somebody calls you something, it doesn't mean that you have to be characterized by that. They were being called gods of basically Babylon. So don't get yourself pigeonholed. People start saying things about you or calling you or pigeonholing you into kind of an identity. Make sure you understand that you are the one true and living God. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you surrendered your life to Jesus and you've been transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ, you cannot be identified by labels that people put on you. You are only identified by what God calls you. That is very important. little subplot of the whole story.
It's so true. I mean, labels are a sticky thing, you know, pun intended. Things that are called by you, that your parents have called you through childhood, can stick with you.
Yeah, they really can. We're taking your calls on this one. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was a fourth person in a fiery furnace in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was blown away, so much so that he said, whoa, don't be mocking and don't be showing any disdain for the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because God showed his power that powerfully. His presence and power was so real in their lives that it turned the king's heart around toward them. Where have you seen God work like this? Love to hear from you right now.
Give us a call, 312-274-9624. Let's go to Donald calling in this morning from Calumet Park. Give us your story.
Yes, like I was telling Young Thunder, I was addicted to drugs over 20-some years. And I can recall a time when I was overdosing. And I told God, if you save me, I promise, and to the day I die, I would serve you just as well as I was serving these drugs. I would serve you until the day I die.
Love it.
And needless to say, God saved me, delivered me, and not only did he save and deliver me, he said, you know what, for good measures, I'm going to turn you into a pastor. Because guess what? When people ask who saved you and how was you able to get out of drugs, I would get the glory. Because I went to rehab twice, and rehab didn't work. But God, grace and mercy worked for me. So I know the power of the Lord.
Yeah,
I
right
know
on,
what he
Don.
Can do. When you surrender, and I mean surrender, watch and see what God do in your life.
Love it, Donald. You're right on, man. I love that. That is so good, man. When you have those moments when you're in a fiery furnace, and for Donald's, he was running from God, a moment of sobriety in the middle of a runner. He says, God, you saved me, and I'm yours. And look what happened. Jose in Chicago, what do you say, my man?
Hi, a couple years ago, I was on a roof, and I fell off the roof 36 feet in the air. As soon as I fell off the roof, I cried out to God, help me. Friends and family took me to the emergency room. They checked me out, and nothing was wrong, nothing broken. Fear started coming in, but I shrugged those thoughts away, and I'm walking. I'm alive.
Yeah, that's awesome, Jose. I mean, there's intervention from God like crazy in these things, guys. And we know that God moves his hand. We're going to have an interview next week with Lee Strobel that's going to blow your mind. I mean, it is going to blow your mind. I wasn't even prepared for this interview. I was going to do a book interview, and I got sidewind missiled by the power of the Holy Spirit here. I mean, what he has discovered through journalistic investigation with empirical evidence absolutely lends credibility to the fact that our God is a God that transcends time and space here on earth, and we are headed for an eternity. The only question is where. But our God is on the move. We are spiritual beings, guys. And God is in the business of protecting us, even from 36-foot falls off roofs. That's a big deal.
Yeah, if you experience the presence of God through the fires of adversity, that's what we're talking about today. Would love to hear your story. 312-274-9624.
Vicki, first-time caller in Chicago. What's your story, Vicki?
Hi. About 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, metastasized to my lungs. Biopsy, I had more than two types of cancer, and they told me to get my things in order. I prayed all the time, and I'm still here. Not only am I still here, no evidence of disease, and I'm in a nursing program keeping up and using my brain every day and hope to help other people that come across this horrible disease.
Wow, Vicki, that's a great story, sister. Wow. First-time caller, boom, sister. That's why we call you the Boom Crew. Experiencing God's power in lives.
Unbelievable. What's your story? God's presence showed up during a tragedy or during adversity. 312-274-9624.
Javier, thanks for hanging on. Let's get you in here. What do you say, my man?
Yes, good morning, Carl. On May 20, I was listening to your program like every morning, and I got head on. Someone fell asleep on the wheel and crashed me on on my front of my car, and I wasn't stuck in the car. I wasn't stuck in the car, and I couldn't get out. And you know, it smelled like fire, and you know, the car keep on going. And when the police came, the police said that I shouldn't be alive. You know, I shouldn't. Wow. You shouldn't be alive. You know what's going on with this? You know, and you know, as I was talking to him, he told me. He, you know, I pushed myself out of the car on the other side, and he told me, if you want to leave your car here, look, it's parked in the right place. And then I look on the side that where I was parking, there was about 7 spaces or maybe more with no cars there, you know. And I just knew that God, you know, when I got crashed, I said, oh, God, help, you know. And I knew that he was there with me.
Yes, yes.
And you know, I was stuck at the dashboard. My leg was stuck at the dashboard, and I couldn't get out. So I don't know what I did. I just pulled myself to the other side of the seat, and I go outside the car because it was smelling like smoke, you know, and it's like fire, you know. And I said, I'm gonna die here. You know, but what bothers me that I do not remember what they were talking on the radio that day, and I'm trying to find out from May 20th at 5:30 5:31 a.m. in the morning.
Well, and, you know what? We're gonna check that one out, Javier. We've got the ability to do that.
Yep, I'm going back and I'm checking right now. Let's see. We're going to May. Thing then May.
You can do it that quick.
Yeah, we are almost there. May 20th was having a childlike faith. I don't know exactly at that moment of 5:30 what we were talking about, but that whole day was about having a childlike faith.
There you go, Javier.
Wow.
We love you, man.
Yeah.
How about that?
Wow.
That was quick.
Hey, it's Young Thunder, and you're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
We're taking your phone calls.
Have you seen God's presence show up during the fires of adversity? Tell us about it. 312-274-9624.
All right, Patrick, can't wait for this. Give us your story, man.
Okay, my family and I were serving God in Northeast Brazil as missionaries, and my wife was making lunch one day. Decided to go to a local shop and get a Coke for lunch, and she went on her bike. Our street was not paved. And on the way back home, something happened, and she fell face first. She was unable to brace her fall. She fell face first and in the street. And my kids called. I was up in my office, and I came flying down the store, went outside, saw her in the middle of the street. There was so much blood, I could see her eye through her eyelid.
Oh, boy.
And it was just, to be honest with you, had I met this lady in the middle of the street anywhere else in the city, I wouldn't even have known it was my wife.
Oh, my word, Patrick.
And, yeah, so I picked her up, took her to the house, and I just laid her on the couch, and I got a towel and put her. I wanted to see the extent of her cuts. We didn't have a car or a phone, so I was like, what are we going to do? Immediately, one of my kids said, hey, there's somebody in the front of the house. He's going to take you to the hospital. So I didn't even think. I just grabbed her. We went and got in the car, and he took us to the hospital. Well, the kids said that it was probably a bricklayer from one of the houses that was being built on our street. So when we got back from the hospital several hours later, I went up there to thank. I didn't even have a chance to thank the guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I went up to find him. I said, okay, here's. I'm looking for this guy. He has a little Fiat car, blue, and I described him in the car, and the guys up there at the only house that was being built at that time, they said, we have no idea who this guy was. And today I have no idea, but I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
God showed up.
Yeah, he did. And according to Hebrews, you could have well been entertaining angels unaware. Patrick,
wow.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That's why we call you the Boom Crew, Boom Crew. You know, I don't know that we ever are going to witness, and you don't go into this with the hopes of, oh, I want to see something miraculous happen. by faith when we walk in utter dependence on God. I don't care if it's Patrick in Brazil. His wife's unrecognizable. He needs to get to the hospital. A guy comes along with a car. And you're telling me, Carl, you think that could have been entertaining an angel unaware? Absolutely. And you never even can conceive that that might happen until you're walking by faith in such a way that you're reliant on God to show up and manifest himself in that manner. What's amazing is, guys, is that this is happening. Here's the truth, Boom Crew. This is happening all over the world, and yes, even in Chicagoland today. The question is, will we have faith to believe when we're thrown into the furnace of adversity like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Because that's when God shows up.
Carl, you made reference to this verse in Hebrews 13, 2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing, or some translations say angels unaware.
It's such an amazing thing. What about you? We want to hear your story. When you hear that, what do you think, Boom Crew? And some of you in the crew are going, all right, yeah, I've seen God show up that way. I'm so appreciative, guys. You guys that are calling in, every one of you are just humble. This isn't about glorifying yourself. This is about pointing people to God. 312-274-9624. You went through the fires of adversity, and God was there, manifesting himself in some way. God was there. 312-274-9624. What do you guys think when you hear a story like that from Patrick?
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, just cool. I mean, I don't know if he shared this exact detail over the phone or over the phone with you guys. When he was talking to me, he said, we didn't have a phone or a car while we were there. And so he had no way to contact help. And all of a sudden, this mystery car and mystery person says, I'm here to take you to the hospital. Like, what?
Wow.
That's just insane.
Yeah. Patrick, you still there with us, man?
Yeah.
Where are you calling from? You in Orlando?
I'm on the road. I'm headed to New York.
Cool, man. Well, listen, Patrick.
Yeah.
What did that do for your faith? Following that with you and your bride and your family, you must look back at that.
It's unbelievable. It's just amazing. I mean, it happened immediately, and there is kind of a funny side, if I could just have a chance to say real quick.
Yeah,
we were going up the hill with this car, and the car was like not making it up the hill. and I said, God, please help this gracious guy to get us to the hospital. He's being so kind, you know. And so then, you know, of course, we made it. And on the way back, as I talked to the Lord about this, I said, you know, Lord, next time you send an angel, send one with a little bit more.
A little stronger automobile.
A little better means, you know?
Patrick, that's a trip, man. Thank you so much. We love you, man. Thanks for being in the Boom Crew.
That's so
boom,
great.
Boom, boom.
Oh, man.
That's
good
why we call you the Boom Crew.
Humor.
I love that, man. I love that.
Hey, I'm Allie. You're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Okay, so we've been talking about going through the fires of adversity and how God shows up. I don't know that I was in a fire of adversity, but I was in a fire of young faith. I just had one of my biggest face plants going. It was after I was surrendered to Jesus Christ and God had saved me from cocaine and alcohol. I want to, from time to time, mention that because some of you tune in Christian radio, and I know by texts that we get and calls that we get, got a lot of you that are new all the time. So I just want to tell you, God has redeemed old Carl, man. I mean, he has changed me. And there was nothing I brought to the table except my broken need for him. That's all I brought. So he had saved me, and now I'm 3 weeks in Christ, and I fell into one of the greatest relapses you can imagine. And this is after the power of Christ was at work in my life. There's no question about it. I was born again. So I'm driving down the road from Fresno to Madera. I'm on Interstate 99. Buddy, you used to live around those neck of the woods.
Yeah, I lived in Modesto.
Yeah, you did. Modesto is just a little bit further up the trail.
Yeah.
Toward San Fran.
That's right.
So we're on the road, and all of a sudden, man, we're getting on the 99, and there's this guy with his thumb out. And I'm going past him, and I get past him, and I'm just like not even thinking about it. And I all of a sudden, boom, hit the brakes. And Matt goes, yeah, man, I'm with you. We got to get that guy. And I'm way down the road. So I start backing up and he doesn't see us. And all of a sudden he turns around and he sees us and he gets this wry grin on his face. And I'm like, that's weird. Cause the dude's got like cat eye glasses, like women's glasses. And Matt opens up the truck door and it's one bench seat, Chevy Silverado, got my lumber rack, got all my gear, got power tools. We're just working construction. And we load this guy up. And immediately we're like going into gang tackle evangelism on this guy. So we're both radically committed Jesus followers now. And Matt's like, hey, man, you know about Jesus? Guy says, matter of fact, I do. Matt says, well, let me tell you my story, and then you're going to hear Clausen's story. So he tells him his story, and then I get to share my story. And this guy's just got this smile on his face. We're like, that's cool. And by the way, everything I'm telling you is exactly as I say and exactly as confusing as I say. That's all I'm going to say. So we're driving all the way to Madera, and now as we're nearing Madera, we say, listen, we've got a Bible study tonight at our home. Why don't you stick around? And he's like, man, I'd like to, but I got to get moving on, guys. But then he began to speak some words over us that were so encouraging. And I'm like, how does this dude, cat-eye glasses, clearly homeless, clearly on the road, doesn't look like he's got any family at all. How does this guy know the word so well, and how does he encourage us so spot on with what we need? I mean, he's telling me and Matt things like, you guys are young in the faith, but you're going to make it. And I felt like saying to him, dude, you're homeless. Don't be telling me we're going to make it. We're going to make it, all right? But I was so struck by his humility and his love for us, it was overwhelming. So we said, well, listen, look, you might not be able to come to the Bible study tonight, but let us buy you a stuffed potato. Do you remember those stuffed potato restaurants called Racks or something like that?
No. Well, they were in the malls, weren't they? Huh? They were in the malls, weren't they?
I thought they were called Racks, like RAX or something, but they were stuffed potatoes, and they were really good. My mouth's watering right now.
Like a baked potato?
That sounds
baked
so good.
Baked potato that they opened up. You put all kinds of different fillings in it.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they went out of business.
I've never heard of a restaurant like that. I love it.
Nothing like a stuffed potato that's salted, baby. Ain't nothing like it. Anyway, I digress. So we walk up to the counter. I order. Matt orders. And our friend, let me get this right. It was me ordering, Matt ordering, and then we asked this guy, and he goes, no, man, I'm good. I'm good. I think I got that right. I'm good. The next is a blur. Because we sit down with this guy at this booth, and we're having just a great time of fellowship with this guy. And I continue to ask him, are you sure you don't want to go to our home? It's right up the road here, man. We'd love to have you stick around tonight. There's no reason for you to be on the road tonight. He says, no, I need to be going down the road. And we're trying to find out about family. We get nothing out of this guy. I mean, nothing. And we're like so encouraged. It's like we've just been to a Christian rock concert with the dude with the cat eye glasses. And he says, you know, I'm not. I said, well, we got to get rolling. But listen, one last time. No, I can't do it. And we walk out 20, 30, 40 feet, not any further than that. Matt goes, man, we should give this guy some cash. I go, you're right. I said, I don't have any. He says, here's a 20 spot. Take it into him. So I run back in, and he's gone. He's already left. But I'm looking around. I'm going, there's no way he left. And there was like one way in and one way out. The other outdoor was an emergency door, one of those that goes, woo, woo, woo.
Yeah.
So he ain't out that one. And so I'm like, oh, he's in the head. So I walk into the head. And
the bathroom.
The bathroom, sorry.
Okay. Just
living the story. So I'm back with my construction friends, okay? Walk into the head and he ain't in the head, or bathroom as we call them, restroom.
Yeah.
And he's not there. So I'm like, what in the world is going on? And I go up to the counter. I know. You're going to think I'm nuts. I know it. I go up to the counter and I said, hey, where'd the guy go that was with us here? The girl says, what guy? I said, me and my buddy, the guy standing right out there by the truck, we were just in here with eating with this guy. With the, he had cat eye glasses. You couldn't mistake him. She goes, she looks at me like I've lost my ever loving mind.
Wow.
And she says, I'm sorry. I don't know what you're talking about. And I know she's thinking, you're loopy, dude. You're on something.
Oh, no.
I go out to the car and I tell Matt what went down. He goes, there is no way. There's no way.
Hmm.
And he's a super demonstrative guy. He had just gotten out of the Marine Corps, and he's like, this is insane. This is just insane. What's going on here? And I said, Matt, I don't know, man. He says, I'm almost mad about this right now. What's going on here? God, what's happening? He's yelling out to God in his Marine voice. And we go to Bible study that night. My aunt walks in and takes us to Hebrews 13, verse 2. I was so young in the Lord, I had not even known this verse. Take it away.
Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
To this day, I call Matt Westcott, and he's going to say, Carl, you remember that time? Yeah, of course I do,
the
Matt.
The guy with the cat eye glasses who disappeared.
So bizarre.
Oh, boy.
Does God do that, guys? Is he still doing this? Guys, mm-hmm. Here's the truth. He's doing it all over the place. We interviewed Lee Strobel yesterday for an interview that we're not going to play until next week.
Correct.
Yeah, you can't hear it until next week. But was it along these same lines of like, whoa, out of this world stuff?
Yeah, I mean, he has data on stories like that where people literally yes. go to heaven, come back, and have out-of-body experiences and tell people about where a shoe on a roof is, and it's true. And there's no way that anyone could have known that.
There's no earthly way to have known what these people are saying when they're doing it, because his book is a case for heaven, and he's talking about these actually not near-death experiences, but post-death coming flatline people that come back and are reporting. And this isn't one or two cases that are like, weirdo. These are thousands of cases.
And this is a man who lives on data and just
and facts.
Details. And
he's
facts.
A journalist.
He's a journalist, an award-winning journalist.
These journalists drive me crazy. If you've ever met one, they got to have every detail lined up. Oh, that's right, Allie.
Oops,
you are
Allie's still here. Sorry.
Hey, don't knock the journalists.
All right, so we're taking your calls, guys. And Corey, you've been holding on a long time. We'll get to you in just a moment.
Have you seen God show up through the fires of adversity? 312-274-9624.
Corey, my man, you must have grown a full beard while you were on hold there, huh?
It's already great, Carl.
Hey, man, what do you say, my man? What's your story?
I want to first say that I've been raised in church all my life, Catholic schools, my mom taking us to church back and forth. And there was this one particular day, my dad was at work, but he'd be coming home soon. I was about 11, probably 12. And I was in the backyard, being a kid. You know, I seen this beehive, I guess. It was in between, like, the insulation of the house and along by the water spout. So me, I goes and grabs a spray can and a lighter. I goes out there and I start, you know, firing up these the bees and stuff, killing them with the fire, you know, from the spray.
From the spray, So you got to spray.
Not knowing that I'm sorry.
I mean, for people to get this, I mean, some people might not know this because they weren't as mischievous as you and me, Corey. If you take a flammable, like hairspray or paint spray or any kind of solvent, and you spray it and put a flame in front of it, you got yourself a little mini torch. Go ahead, Corey.
Yeah. A torch. So I'm spraying this, not realizing, hey, I'm setting fire also to the house with the insulation. You know, it's up to the house. It really is flammable.
Oh, yes. No.
And at the time, then I see the smoke coming. I'm like, whoa, it's a fire. I'm setting a fire. So I stopped, and I'm trying to get to this fire, but I couldn't. So the only way I could get to the fire was to pull back the water spout some. And in the process of pulling the water spout back, I burnt my hand completely. I knew it had to be a real, real big fire to heat up that metal like that.
Oh, my word. Yes.
You know, and I burnt my hand. And I'm like, oh, God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I fell to my knees. I said, God, please help me with this, because I cannot get, you know, burn up the house.
Yeah.
And I could not get this fire. And, Carl, when I say I got the water hose and I didn't even put two or three drops on it, it was out.
God heard your prayer, Corey. God heard your prayer, Corey.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You prayed with absolute earnestness, didn't you, my friend?
I sure did.
Yeah.
I knew I couldn't do this. There's nothing I could do in my power to get this out.
Listen, Corey, when God sees a little boy falling to his knees, going, God, help me, our God sees, Corey. Thank you for calling in. Stay on hold, man. See, you get a full beard and you get a Carlin Crew prize pack out of the whole thing there.
Wow.
Thanks for that story, Corey. Woo!
That is, wow.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Have you seen God show up in one of those fires of adversity? Could have been a literal fire like Corey experienced. Could have been a real season of trial or trauma or something was going on and God's presence was with you. How did you know it? What happened? Tell us the story. 312-274-9624.
Hey, this is Super Di. Hope you're enjoying the Carlin Crew Showcast.
Okay, we're going to go back to the phone lines. Jody, first time caller in Melrose Park. What's your story, sister?
Well, when I was a teenager, I was actually a young mom, and I was in a very difficult situation, and so I was a waitress in a restaurant working third shift. And a fella came in the door, and he sat down at the counter, and I walked over to him, and the odd thing is that he never ordered anything. And the only thing he said to me was, "Don't worry." What a great song to follow up my story with, because what he said to me, "Don't worry, everything is going to be okay."
Oh, wow.
And I thought that was awfully odd. You know, just to be honest, third shift in restaurants and things like that, you do get some characters to come in. And at first I thought maybe that's what was going on here. But, you know, he just seemed a little different.
Yeah.
And then what he did is he put his hand out and he shook my hand. And what I just remembered the most was his hand was just so warm. And so he never ordered anything. I kept watching him. He got up and he went into the men's room. And he didn't come out for quite a while. And I was really watching because it was just an odd situation.
Right.
And so finally I asked one of the busboys, I said, "Would you please go in there in the bathroom? There's a fellow that's went in there and he's never came out." And he went in there, and he came back out, and he looked at me and he said, "There's nobody in here."
Oh, man.
I said, "There's nobody in there?" And he said, "No." So that was, I was about 19 then. I'm 61. Wow. And that's just my encounter that I've carried with me all these years. And I don't ever remember his face. I just remember he had a suit on. And his hand was real warm, and he told me, "Don't worry, everything is going to be okay."
Oh, sister, I'm telling you, Jody.
So awesome.
First-time caller, Melrose Park. That's why we call you the Boom Crew.
Wow, I love these
stories. Oh, my goodness.
What?
Love that stuff. Is that good or what? And shall we read the scriptures?
Yes, Hebrews 13:2. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares."
Yeah, it's still happening today. "If you walk by faith and not by sight, you will see things you wouldn't believe otherwise." Isn't that interesting? If you walk by faith and not by sight, you will see stuff that no one has seen. It's true, guys. 7:31's the time. Coming up, we're taking your calls.
Have you experienced the miraculous presence of God that showed up during adversity, during a season of adversity, during a night of adversity? We're taking all kinds of stories this morning, all a little bit different. So we would love to hear from you. 312-274-9624.
Judy from Alberta. Tell us your story, Judy.
Well, we've lived in northwestern Ontario. My husband was a bush pilot. This happened about 30 years ago.
Okay.
When I was in my early 30s. And we lived on an island that was a mile from the mainland, and so I was walking home one night. It was in May. There was still ice on the lake, and all of a sudden, I went through, and I was all alone by myself and not a soul anywhere around that I could see, and so I thought, well, God has got to do something here, and anyway, I tried to get out, and I kept putting my leg up trying to get on the ice, and I could not get out, and it was getting cold, and I was really kind of worried, and all of a sudden, I remember being lifted up from underneath. I just felt this lifting, and I blacked out. The next thing I knew, I was lying on top of the ice.
Oh.
And I was just scared to death to move because I didn't want to go through again. But I knew that was not my strength at all because I had no strength left after struggling. And I have no idea how long I was in there.
Yeah.
Because you just lose track of time. But it was God that did it for sure. And I just wanted to say that I love your show. I'm able to listen to it on my internet radio. And I just know that was God.
Yeah. Judy, thank you so much from Alberta, Canada. Thank you for calling in today. Guys, when you fall through ice, have you ever fallen through ice? Anyone here?
No.
Okay.
I never want to.
I've fallen through ice on many occasions, but never in a position where it was going to threaten my life. Either I had someone with me or a dog team there to pull me out. I fell through ice a couple of times with my dog sled and dog team, and they were there to pull me out. But when you go under the ice, I need you to hear me right now. This is the world I came from. When you fall through the ice, you lose body temperature and strength almost immediately. And if you're struggling for any length of time at all, you might as well give up and the struggle is over because you will not, apart from outside assistance, you are not going to get up on that ledge of ice.
Wow.
That was God that picked up Judy in Alberta, Canada. Carol, first-time caller, Downers Grove. What's your story?
Yeah, I'd like to tell you a story about a few years back where my daughter was going through a very dark period in her life. And at that time, she was working in a little Dunkin' Donuts. And somebody had come through the drive-thru, kind of noticed her smile, commented how he was always cheered up by her. And the next thing she noticed is this gentleman had come into the restaurant. And she said he had sat down and he sat there for at least an hour or two and just appeared to be writing. And when he left, he came up to her and gave her, it was maybe a 3-page letter. And in that letter, he addressed so many of the issues she was struggling with.
Oh, my word.
And it was so unpeed. We could not comprehend how a stranger could feel like he knew so much about her. And he talked about his own daughter and her struggles and how she had come to a point where she was going to kill herself. And he kind of said to her, how about giving it one last chance? And she ended up serving in a mission of some sort. And through that, she was healed. And the point is that when he wrote that letter and he gave it to her and we read it, we cried. We thought that it was just from God. And the gentleman said in the letter, he said, I don't know what compelled me, but something compelled me to come in there and sit down and write you this letter.
Wow.
And it was just an incredible miracle.
Yes. Carol, first time from Downers Grove. Boom, 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 boom. I'm going quad boom on these today.
Wow. Let's go to Lisa, first time caller from Yorkville. Tell us about your story.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to share. Several years ago, we had a daughter with special needs, and she required a lot of care, a lot of surgeries. Well, she was at a point where it was a surgery she needed for life and death. And, obviously, we were really scared as parents. And so as they took her away to the operating room, we knew that the surgery was such a delicate surgery that even if the surgery went wrong, she wasn't going to make it. So I prayed outside of the waiting room that God would just give us a victory. And that word just kind of stuck with me. And it was just a word that I kept repeating over and over again. Well, after about 45 minutes, the doctor came around the corner and he came up to talk with us. And he said, I just want to let you know everything went well and we have a victory today. And I knew right then and there that, God was in control.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was just so powerful.
Yes. Lisa, God bless you, sister. What a great word. Thank you. First time caller from Yorkville. What a beautiful story.
Hi, I'm Sputnik, and you're listening to the Carl and Crew Showcast.
Beverly in Elgin, let's go. What do you say, Beverly?
Good morning. In 2013, the summer, I was serving at the King County Courthouse as a juror for a three-day trial. They had just released us for deliberation, and I had received a headache that was the worst headache I had ever had. I wanted to just go walk it off, and the bailiff said, "Well, let me call the ambulance." And I didn't want to, but I finally gave in, and they sent me to Delnor Hospital. Delnor determined pretty quickly that I had had a stroke, and they airlifted me to Central DuPage Hospital. There they went ahead and brought me in to do a procedure to find out if the subacnoid hemorrhage that I was going through was still bleeding. And at that time, you know, you don't know whether you're going to live or die. And I felt and experienced the peace that passes understanding.
Awesome.
And it was utterly, utterly amazing.
Yeah, Beverly, that is so precious because you can't create that, can you, Beverly? You can't conjure that up.
No, absolutely.
No, no.
Nope. God was there with me through the whole time for the remaining 12 days that I had to stay in the neuro intensive care unit. And I knew that he was with me every moment of the time.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Beverly, thank you so much. God bless you, sister. Ellie in Mundelein. Give us your story, Ellie.
Hey, good morning. Okay, back in 1979, I am driving in the dead of winter. I hit a patch of black ice. I spun around twice on the Kennedy and slammed into the guardrail, flat tire, almost no gas, 1:30 in the morning. Oof. And I just looked up and I just started to cry out to God to help me. And I looked and I saw taillights. I came almost immediately and I thought, how did I miss not hitting that car? That car was just there, just off to the side. A man got out, came to my car. He had the most amazing, deep, beautiful eyes. I can still see them in my mind's eye all these years later. He said, "Everything is going to be all right. The tow truck will be right here." Now, mind you, no cell phones back in those days.
Oh,
78, right?
Yes, ma'am. That's a little detail.
Wow. Yeah, my friend. So all of a sudden, I saw the tow truck.
Woo!
And I looked, saw the tow truck, saw the guy. He starts walking away. And I looked, glanced back. No car, no guy. Tow truck came right there, helped me out, gave me gas, changed my tire. I went on my way.
Ellie.
Never forgot that.
Ellie, thank you from Mundelein. Boom, sister. Blowing this place up today.
Beautiful.
Let's get one more in here.
Let's go to Melissa, first-time caller from Tinley Park. Give us your story.
Yeah, we were on a family vacation driving through the mountains of Maine, and there was absolutely no cell signal and very lonely roads, no sign of life. And we're deep in the mountains, and all of a sudden we get flat tire. And I'm there with my 2 70-year-old in-laws and 3 young children. And we start to panic, and we start striking out to see if we can see a town, if we see any other cars, and nothing. And we were really freaking out. And at the time, my 9-year-old daughter just kind of taps me on the shoulder. She goes, Mommy, shouldn't we pray? Like, isn't this the right time to pray?
Wouldn't this be a good time to pray, Mom?
And granted, I'm a lifelong Christian, right? And it didn't occur to me. I was panicking.
Hey, you were too busy panicking. Come on, Melissa.
She slows me down. And I said, yes, right there. So right then and there, our whole family, and she started it. We said a prayer. We asked God to help us. We had not seen a car for hours. Within 5 minutes, we saw headlights. Not one car, not 2 cars, but 3 cars came by in the next hour. The first one got help. The second car was this nice couple that started changing our tire. The third car that arrived was a AAA car that was just passing through. And he said, "Do you need help?" And he said, no one called him. He just happened to be passing through.
Okay. All right. Melissa, thank you. First time caller from Tinley Park. Oh, my goodness.
It's pretty amazing.
Come on.
Wow.
Here's the thing. When we walk by faith and not by sight, we see God move. Think about that. Think about that. Jonathan in Des Plaines, take it away, my man.
How you doing today, guys? God Good. Bless you all.
Thank you.
Hey, so my story real quick. My best friend, growing up since with this guy since fifth grade, and so this guy, he asked me to move a trailer for him. This guy, I've been like a brother in his family for years.
Okay.
And lies to me about what's in it. In the back, it's full of illegal drugs. I had no clue about it. And I got pulled over while moving this trailer for him. I'm looking at 15 to 40 years in prison, possibly life. And me and about a dozen other believers, we got down and we prayed and we sought the Lord. And we've been praying the whole time, standing on Bible verses. One of the verses we stood on was that the heart of the judge was going to be in the hand of the Lord, and he'd turn it whithersoever he chose. While I was in there, I was like, Lord, if you got a hidden prison ministry for me, your will be done. But otherwise, I got a wife and I got four kids, and you got to fight for me, God, because they need me. And that's what you've given them to me for, and to be there for them.
Yeah.
So we prayed. We went before the judge. I shared what had happened to him. I said, you know, Your Honor, I counsel people who go through drug addictions and problems.
This
is the exact opposite of who I am as a person. Anyways, he was sitting there. He's going, this is the biggest drug bust in the state history. We have to lay down the law here. But I feel inclined to do something different here. I don't know why. No. This is serious. And he kept wrestling back and forth.
Out loud. Out loud.
Yep. That the heart of the judge was in God's hands. And the prosecuting attorney never even showed up. And he still dismissed the case. God fought for me. It was incredible.
Boom.
And to him
Boom.
Be all the glory.
Boom. Yep. Jonathan wow. Des Plaines. That's beautiful,
incredible.
Man.
What?
Randy, first time caller, Glenn Ellen, you get the final word on stories. How did God walk you through fires of adversity?
Well, 30 years ago, I went to visit relatives up in Minnesota from Chicagoland. I was in seminary over at Trinity. And got into snow skiing. And it was icy, as it often is in December. And I wrapped around the fence post about 35 miles an hour. As soon as I did that, I was smart enough to ask God to let me walk again. And all right, I cried.
Yeah, it's all right.
Anyway.
It's all right, Randy. Real men cry like babies, I'm learning, the older I get. Keep going, my man.
I felt like the skin was pulled away from my forehead and warm water was poured over my whole body. And I had my answer. The only thing was, I was stubborn. I was resistant to feel like I was going to get up and walk away from the place. And God said, no, I'm going to make sure you remember this and know that I did something. Anyway, many hours later, they insisted I go to the hospital. I called my uncle. He came down in a little tiny car, threw me in the back of a Chevette. Drove me up to the hospital. I sat outside freezing. And finally, the orderlies came and loaded me in, and they made me sign away my life. And they called my parents, said he will not survive the night. If you want to see him get from Naples, Florida to Minnesota tonight before he dies. God provided.
Yeah, he did, Randy. He did, man.
Wow.
Randy, first time caller from Glen Allen. Love your heart, man. And I know that there's even more details to that, I am sure. But I got God sees your tears, and he's the same God who saw you wrapped around a pole, and he saved your life, dude. It's our God, man. It's our God.
Hey, it's Young Thunder, and you're listening to the Carl and Cruz Showcast.
We got special guest with us, Dr. Samuel Neumann. We're going to talk about God showing up in the most amazing ways. Let's bring him in, Professor of Intercultural Studies here at Moody Bible Institute, Vice President of Call of Hope, and they are really doing some great work in Muslim nations around the globe. He's with us right now. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Brother Carl. Nice to hear your voice. Thank you, sir.
Well, let's get after it here. One of the things that we know for sure is that everything has changed in Afghanistan, especially for those followers of Jesus there. I know, Samuel, that you're we're in this great story out of Daniel 3 about God's presence with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I know there are stories that are coming out of the Middle East right now about God's presence protecting his children. Do you have any updates about how God is at work over there right now?
Well, the first update is not that encouraging. Yesterday, we picked up news from our sources that, you know, it was our fear, Carl, as you and I have talked earlier also, that Christians will be targeted and singled out, hunted down, but now actually it's already happening. So that is disappointing and discouraging regardless of whatever happens and you know, the pronouncements made. But on top of that, I think the beauty is this. I firmly believe that even though at the moment it appears that everything is not going well according to whatever, but God is sovereign. We also hear stories that people or believers are able to, whoever able-bodied people are able to cross over to the neighboring countries. One of main country, or at least that is accepting people, is Pakistan. And, you know, our workers are there. For those who are not able to because of physical difficulties, because it's a long ways, you know, from anywhere to... It's not like you take 10 minutes and you're at the border. I mean, these are sometimes days' journey. But the people who are there, they are standing firm, you know, through different ways and means and encouraging each other and consoling each other. And I think now the phase is this, okay, what's next? If this is going to continue, and how do we manage to keep our faith? And I think that is the prayer and challenge that I would like to leave with the listeners. These believers will not leave. And of course, Muslims too, you know, everyone cannot leave that country. But what is our role and how we can help them? And God is showing up in many different ways. I think sometimes to our surprise, and in many ways, you know, sometimes Taliban ask you a question and they are able to figure something out. And sometimes the hearts are softened in some very rare cases. On others, of course, there's no mercy, and then basically you're shot down. You know, shot down. That's pretty much it. But anyway, I mean, I firmly believe that God will protect his bride, and he will sustain the people. Carl, it has happened. The church history after AD 70, 70 early church. I mean, frankly, you know, this kind of lifestyle and suffering is nothing new for us in that part of the world. No. Believe me, you know. Someone asked me, well, aren't you worried and are you? I said, guys, that's our DNA. I mean, I don't want to say that, but it's in our blood, you know?
Yeah.
Every day when you wake up, the challenge is there, and you just keep your head up and say, okay, here comes another day, another challenge, and, you know, I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm just going to go forward.
Dr. Yep. Samuel Naaman, our guest right now. Now, when we look at this story in Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, going into those fires, they famously said, we know that the God we serve is able to deliver us, but even if he does not, we will not bow. That kind of faith that stares at the face of danger and doesn't presume that God is going to, that I'm going to live through this, but it continually looks back to God is able, but even if he doesn't, you must see that kind of faith lived out all the time.
Absolutely. You know, Ellie, thank you so much. Let me give you a testimony of a blind man. His name was Zia. He's with the Lord now. I think he was martyred. He was a blind guy who accepted Christ through radio. I think I may have mentioned that years ago. And long story short, you know, he was in the prison, was able to escape to Pakistan years ago, and was a refugee in Pakistan. And finally, the Haqqani network actually tracked him down, and he disappeared. But before he left, he had told his friends that, I think that my time is coming near. But regardless of whatever happens, you carry on the gospel work in Afghanistan and neighboring Pakistan. So, I mean, a lot of people, we pray that, well, God may rescue and God may save. But I'm also praying that God may keep us faithful, you know, when we face death.
Yes.
You know, when we face death, we see that it's going to happen, that we will not denounce. We will not back off and say, you know, fine. I mean, what are we going to lose, Ali? When we know by God's grace whom we are, whom we belong to, and where we are heading. I know it sounds mundane, a cliche, however you say that. But frankly, there's no fear in the lives of believers in those areas. There's no fear. And they see God's hand, and they see him present in painful situations. They see how people let them go. They see how the guards turn their face around. They see the kindness sometimes. I have seen that in many times when I am in that area, you know, checkpoints and all those things. They see how we are able to take the literature across. I mean, the bags are full. And they open, okay, just go. I mean, how in the world that can happen, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, these are small things of God being faithful if he chooses to. I think this is something, the caveat that I also want to say. I always say, Lord, according to your will, your will may be done. I cannot manipulate. I cannot remind God of the promises that I need to be secure and safe. No, that's not the point. The point is, Lord, I want to be faithful. I see your presence. I can feel your presence by God's grace. And just allow me to be faithful. And if you survive, then you give God the glory. Okay, you know, another day is gone. What's next now?
Yeah,
and that is the life of many people in that part of the world.
Dr. Samuel Neumann is our guest right now, professor of intercultural studies here at Moody Bible Institute. Great man of God. By the way, they have a really cool ministry going on. It's the South Asian Friendship Center, and it's near Devon, and they do a great work. I've been there, and it's just awesome. That's a whole nother story for another time. But, you know, I got to tell you, Samuel, I think a lot of people look at the stories like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we had someone, by the way, listening this morning who'd never heard that story before, which is awesome. Mm. That means we've got a lot of new followers of Jesus, and they said they were so excited when they heard us share that story.
Mm.
But we look at a story like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that were in Babylon, thrown into a fiery furnace that was intensely hot, protected from any garment even being singed, any hair being singed. And yet we sometimes look at the God of the Old Testament. We go, well, that's the God of the Old Testament. But Samuel, these Christians in Afghanistan, they are so walking in utter dependence on God. I believe that there is a biblical case to be built that the utter dependence that they have to live in day by day, their eyes are open more to God's miraculous provision than even ours. And
Go ahead, Carl.
You respond to that. What do you say?
You know, Carl, we cannot control God and his method and the way that he uses to reach people and rescue people. You see, sometimes I think we in the West, from our theological perspective, oh, well, that should not happen. That cannot happen. No, we cannot control God. If we can control God, then forget about the God that we serve. He will choose according to his will and according to the understanding of local culture. That's the beauty of biblical message, it transcends every culture, you know.
Yes.
In that culture, they depend on the voice. They are longing. They are looking. They are looking up to heaven. And he meets them, Carl. He meets them many ways. He has met me in many of these situations, in those circumstances, with the fellow believers, in one room that we sincerely feel that he is there. You know, and when one of us pops up, hey, you know, whatever, I'm going, I'm heading out. And if I see you, I see you. If I don't see you, I don't see you. I mean, I told you multiple times that there are times that we are, you know, in some safe place, wherever, relatively safe, after changing the room in 3 nights, or, you know, that, you know, when one of the new believers says, you know, I want to be baptized. Why you want to be baptized? You know, the response could be, or I asked them, and he said, I don't know whether I'm going to see you or not. I mean, it is sobering and humbling, you know, for me in the West, sitting with our brother. He said, you know, I don't know whether I'll see you or not. But, or when the Lord calls me, or if or when the Lord calls me, I want to die as a baptized believer. I mean, where in the world people get that kind of, passion and determination and commitment?
Well, it's utter dependence on the God
Absolutely.
Who saves, and then watching him show up in power. I just think that there is, through that persecution, there is incredible blessing where God just shows up in ways that people that lack faith or lack dependence, I should say, because it's not a matter of the amount of our faith, it's the object of our faith, and they put it squarely in Jesus Christ, and that's
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Samuel. Boom Crew, if you're listening right now, you're going, who is this wild man who's from Pakistan and knows followers of Jesus in Afghanistan? His name's Samuel Naaman, and he is the vice president as well of the Call of Hope. And here's what you need to know. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were able to raise tens of thousands of dollars to help the underground church in Afghanistan. And we want to make that available to you still. Look, we know that some of you hear the stories of what God's doing in Afghanistan, and you're like, man, how can we be a part? This is a tangible way. These monies directly go to the ministry of the underground church in Afghanistan. So we've got a link for you right now.
Just text the word HOPE to 312-274-9624. The ministry is called Call of Hope. So just text one word, HOPE, 312-274-9624.
Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.